I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd, and we've got a wonderful lineup of really talented, creative people in store for you today. So I'm happy that you've tuned in. So we're going to start. Let me tell you who's here in the live studio audience today. We have guest painter, educator, Harold Smith, and we'll be talking to Crystal Hyland, another painter and writer, a gallery owner, and then we have Meredith Moore with the Thrush Project, which is a podcast under development, and so we'll be talking to each of these wonderful people today live at the studio. So let's begin with my first guest. Harold Smith says he is an artist that works primarily in acrylics and mixed media and sometimes does oil. He also, his work is largely influenced by jazz and the jazz dynamic in his life. He lives and works here in the Kansas City area, and his work has been collected worldwide. He's been exhibited in France, New York, Newport, San Francisco, College Park in Maryland, and, of course, Kansas City. So I do want to welcome you, Harold. Thank you for coming to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Harold, you are an educator and a painter. How do you balance, you know, your work as a creative person and, you know, your job as an educator?
Try to get rest in between teaching and painting, so I have energy and just spacing things out.
Now, you're finished for the school year in terms of the actual school year, but you'll be teaching during the summer, right?
Yes, I'll be teaching in a summer enrichment program at East High School.
Okay. I do want to talk about your painting because you say that it's influenced primarily by jazz. Are there particular artists that that you really gravitate towards?
I like John Coltrane and Albert Eiler, a lot of the older ones, Billie Holiday, but I also like Joshua Redman, Christian Scott, and Esperanza Spalding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and actually like Queen Latifah, her, mm-hmm. Dana Owens, I think she called it that, but it was a jazz album she did.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, and even Robert Downey Jr., some of his stuff.
You know, it's odd that you should mention him because people don't often realize his name doesn't come up when you talk about jazz. What do you find in the music? Do you find color or movement? What are sort of the directions that you, the elements of design that you find in the work?
I think I find the movement, the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I think jazz musicians, just like all musicians, are actually they basically paint with music. They paint with notes, and intensity and stuff.
Are you yourself a musician?
I have an alto sax at home. I play for myself here and there.
Yeah. And you know, I find that visual people who are visual and music, there's also an element of writing going in too. So do you also write? And
yes, I have a book of poetry called Coffee House Theology, and a novel I wrote called Descent. I've done some various short stories and things.
Mm-hmm. With the writing and the painting, have you ever performed, done like a live painting sort of event, you know, based on jazz and in your work? And
yes. In Newport, Rhode Island, another artist and I did a painting for at the a live painting at the Montanaro Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sonny Ruff invited me and several others to do a live painting at the Blue Room, I think it was about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of energy. I mean, you know, to be in an event like that. And, and of course, your work just lends itself beautifully for that.
Thank you.
Where can folks see your work in Kansas City? Are you in a particular, are you in a gallery?
No, I'm not in a gallery. I do have a studio.
Okay.
Most people call it a garage. I call it a studio.
Hey, if you're making work out of it,
that's right.
Even more so, you know, better.
Yeah. And I have a website, haroldsmithart.com,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's what I do.
Well, and if people have looked at our website at the KKFI website, and of course the event that I created for today's show on Facebook, it just shows you a very small sampling of your work, which is very colorful and very fluid. What is that piece based on? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
The crown.
Yes.
It's the original title was Crown of Afflictions. And it's based on the struggle of men of color, intertwining with the music of jazz, which expressed that struggle. People often say that jazz music is the soundtrack of Black America, and that there's a certain amount of strength and royalty that comes from that struggle.
Absolutely. Do you want to talk about some of the places that you've shown your work? Again, you've been in France and New York, Rhode Island. You've been all over. How is your work received, say, in France?
It was pretty well received in France. I had an exhibit through the Cognac Blues Passions Festival, and they actually showed it in the Martel House, where they actually make cognac. So it's definitely a very good reception.
No kidding.
And people seemed to like it. A lot of people came out. And then I had a second reception. You have to forgive me. I can't pronounce the name. It's in French. But it was in January of this year at a gallery in Angoulême, France. And, you know, people seemed to like it.
Well, I know I've seen postings of articles that were written about you in France. So I think you're highly regarded. Your work is highly regarded there. I mean, that speaks a lot about your talent.
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you have coming up? Or I know, again, it's summer and, you know, sort of maybe a little lax time for you to find time to paint. What's coming up?
I'm still working on the Man of Color series. I think I might... I made the title. I think I might want to make either a spoken word or jazz-inspired hip-hop mixtape. And do some more writing and just kind of whatever comes to mind.
Now, as far as your background and your art education, when did that begin?
I took an art class in kindergarten.
Yeah, that's the best.
I painted a big green ball. I remember that. And I think that's the last art class. Well, I took art appreciation in college. It's required for graduation.
Yeah.
But that's the last art class I took. I'm self-taught.
Did you have sort of a... Were you surprised that this was the direction your life took? Were you? I know as an educator, you know, you are focused on, you know, getting your education and all that, but was art just sort of on the side, or was it a focus in your life?
Well, you know, I had an uncle, Johnny, my father's brother. He was a sculptor, and I remember he used to give us sculptures that we had in the house. And my mother, she died in 93 of lung cancer, but she is a very prolific photographer from the 40s up until she got too sick to take pictures. So she left me this big old huge plastic tub. It's probably got over 1,000 pictures. Some are Polaroids, some are filmed. I mean, starting way back. First they were black and white and then colors. And I've been scanning them in little by little. So I think I was, and I had Uncle Clifford, who was a musician that played with Duke Ellington and others. He would visit a lot. And we had a piano in the house. And my mom liked music. So I was kind of surrounded by art.
Yeah, that I think that's really cool. It really sort of helps make a person who they become, you know, interested in art and all of that. Who are some of your favorite artists, painters? Do you have any?
Yeah, I do. I actually have some favorite artists. Actually, one of my favorites is a former student. His name is Trey Loomis. You might have saw him on my Facebook. He was a student of mine at Paseo, and he got burned up pretty bad in an accident when he was like 2. But I like his drawings because they're very pure. Very, very pure.
I've seen those drawings, and they're just I find them fascinating.
Me too.
You know, because they're very contour, mm-hmm. you know, drawings, but there's sort of a sophistication to them, too.
In it, though?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. You're a big fan of his work.
Big fan, uh-huh. He is. Uh-huh. I like my son's work. He does some flow of consciousness stuff. He doesn't want me to put it online or nothing, but he takes his thoughts and paints it down.
Yeah.
So I'm collecting his stuff.
Yeah.
But I also like David Park. Well, Bay Area figuratives.
And, you know, taking your son's work, you know, mm-hmm. just sign your name to it.
Yeah,
thinking, you know?
Exactly. I was thinking about
hey,
that.
If it's not copyrighted.
Exactly. But, yeah, I like David Park. I uh-huh. like Jacob Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little fascinated by Kehinde Wiley. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at his stuff, his work, and Romare Beard, and yeah. Basquiat. And I yeah. definitely like de Kooning.
Yeah, you know, my friend Jan Robb went to the Des Moines Art Center just recently, mm-hmm. and the last time I was up for there, there was an exhibition of Basquiat's work,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
was in the mid-'90s, I think. And,
exactly.
Yeah, really powerful.
That's
you know.
Right.
I think I took a couple pieces home with me, but, you know, it was a little tough to get in the car.
A Basquiat, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Millions of dollars right there.
Now, you're primarily a painter. Do you mm-hmm. do any three-dimensional work?
You know, I actually have done in the past. I've done some sculptures. I had some, what are them type of things? They put wigs on them, heads made out of styrofoam.
Yeah, the mannequin.
Yeah, I made a series out of them. I've painted different objects. There's a word for it when you find stuff in the trash and turn it into art. But I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've
mm-hmm.
done some of that.
Does that... You know, working with three dimension, mm-hmm. you know, in material that you can actually hold and, mm-hmm. and touch, do you work differently with that than you do with painting? I mean, is it
mm-hmm.
really, really that different?
Well, for me, it is.
Than just the material.
Uh-huh. For me, it is. What I do, when I did three dimensional, when I do it, it's basically like a reinterpretation mm-hmm. of it within the context of my experience type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that much change, but attempt to change the way it's perceived.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that, you know, you say you work from home and mm-hmm. in your garage. Do you have a sort of disciplined way of working? I think it's really fascinating to find out people's sort of discipline. Some are very organized and some are like, meh, I don't feel like painting today. How do you work?
There's really no real system. I mean, to be honest, sometimes I go through long periods where I don't paint because I just don't feel it.
Sure.
And if I'm not feeling it, it's not going to come out right.
Yeah.
And then there are times where I feel it and it's there. So there's no real system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think several years ago I went through one where it's almost a year and I didn't paint.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are times where I paint every day. So it's just kind of as I'm inspired.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for people who are beginning to paint or thinking about painting? Do you have any sort of words of wisdom that you want to impart?
Yeah. I would say just do it. Experiment. Don't think you have to go to school to learn how to do it. You know, I have several friends that are like ministers, and they say that the seminary, they call it the cemetery. And then I had a friend who said for artists, sometimes that's the same way.
Yeah, you know, I would agree. I think if you have that drive and inherent sort of talent mm-hmm. and creativity, you know, it's not always important to, mm-hmm. to get an education through an art institute, say.
Exactly. Well, one thing I would say is if you're going to use spray paints and stuff, make sure you open the windows.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Oh, honey. Well, very good. You know, I do want to invite you back here. We're mm-hmm. going to talk to our next guest, Crystal Hyland, after we take a short break. And then we'll be talking with Meredith Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want a conversation to occur between the three of you in terms mm-hmm. of the art and your thoughts and opinions.
Okay.
Thank you, Harold Smith. We'll talk to you in just a little bit. We're going to go to we're going to have a real quick break, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
Thank you. Seguro foldo.
Isso aí. Você vai dançar forró. É o dia mais triste.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa, o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rima na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa, o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rima na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar.
No alto mar tem muita coisinha boa, se jantar de canoa pra gente relaxar. O canoeiro só rima na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar. O meu navio deu um tombo, ele faliu, tombiu, mas não virou lá no alto mar.
Meu navio deu um tombo, ele faliu, tombiu, mas não virou lá no alto
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa, o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro, pra canoa não virar.
Dona Maria, cuidado na saia, no balanço da canoa, o vento pode levantar. O canoeiro só rema na proa, cuidado canoeiro, pra canoa não virar.
No alto mar tem muita coisinha boa, se jantar de canoa pra quem quiser passear. O canoeiro só rima na proa, cuidado canoeiro pra canoa não virar. O meu navio deu um tombo, ele bombeou, bombeou, mas não virou lá no alto mar.
Meu navio deu um tombo, ele bombeou, bombeou, mas não virou lá no alto mar.
Supporting 90.1 FM, Gladstone Area Chamber of Commerce. Sponsoring the 19th Annual Gladstone Summertime Blues Festival. Starting at 5 p.m. Friday, June 5th, and 1 p.m. Saturday, June 6th, at Oak Grove Park, 76th and North Church, Gladstone, Missouri. Featured acts on Friday include Coyote Bill Boogie Band, The Bel Air, and Junior Watson. And on Saturday, Ison Taylor and Brandon Huntsman. The Confessors tribute to Lee McBee featuring R.J. Misho, Brandon Santini Band, Kelly Hunt, and Jimmy D. Lane. All details at GladstoneChambers.com.
This week on American Roots, we're rocking and roll. First with the girl group icon Lala Brooks of the Crystals. Then we'll take a sea cruise on over to Gretna, Louisiana, and visit with Frankie Ford. Plus, a jukebox full of doo-wop and sock-hop hits. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Wednesday evening from 7 to 9. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and we have in the studio Crystal Hyland. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Crystal resides and works in the Crossroads Arts District that was founded by her artistic mentor and friend, the great Jim Leedy. In addition to furthering her studio practice, where she focuses on developing her natural material usage, she also curates MLB Gallery and hosts a quarterly event, the Salon for the Arts. She enjoys advocating for the arts through Kansas City Studio Magazine. So, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Let's talk about art.
Yay.
Let's talk about your art. So, you're a very busy artist, working artist, and mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you also curate for the gallery. So, how do you do it all and still find time to create work?
I am a deadline-driven artist, so I try to keep my schedule booked out for showing my work so that I keep on track as far as, you know, producing work. But I have my studio in my home,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easily accessible to me, so I can work, you know, when I have moments.
Yeah. And let's talk about your work. Tell our listeners sort of the range of work that you do.
I paint as well as sculpt. I enjoy the process from the beginning to the end, the stretching mm-hmm. of the canvas and the rabbit skin glue
yeah.
and the sanding of the canvas.
Almost a forgotten art, don't you think? All of that? I mean, the stretching canvas and all that, or no?
Yeah, that's kind of what drew me to it.
Yeah.
I also I do a recently I've started sort of systematizing my approach where I create a background painting in oil, mm-hmm. and then I use a tempera on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also create sculptures in beeswax mm-hmm. sometimes. Just I really enjoy them.
What is your source of information for your work?
It varies. Sometimes it's inspired by the written word, mm-hmm. Poetry. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've been kind of hung up on shadows since I started painting, and yeah. I just can't seem to let them go. For me, they're sort of a representation of many things, our mm-hmm. impact on the planet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it kind of feels like another dimension is placed over the top of the piece. But, I really enjoy shadows.
Now, I know that I've seen some work of yours where it's more textile-based.
I recently... I have a piece in a show at the Lady Vocus Arts Center that's curated by the wonderful people at Kansas City Voices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that piece, I started reincorporating silk. I was a costume designer and then a fashion designer.
Was that here in town?
No, I lived and worked all over. I worked on some really big projects and some things that I'd rather not mention.
Oh, sure. with the Kansas City Voices show, and that's currently running?
Yeah.
How long will that?
I think through the end of June, maybe the 27th.
Okay.
That's when our recent show is coming down at MLB.
Well, I know that you have a lot of things going on. Again, you have your piece in the KC Voices show.
Mm-hmm.
Your next Salon for the Arts will be June 6th, so that's coming up.
Yeah,
and what's going to happen
right
there?
The Salon for the Arts is a show that I put together quarterly. It always benefits another artist in our community mm-hmm. in need, generally having to do with healthcare mm-hmm. costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This salon is to benefit our friend Julia Pitt, mm-hmm. who was diagnosed with breast cancer and had a mastectomy, and now she's having to pay for yeah. her suffering. And mm-hmm. so a group of us are getting together to help her. I'm actually going to be showing my own work for the first time at the salon. It's always kind of around, but I think people sometimes don't realize that my work is there, which mm-hmm. I think is, mm-hmm. Kind of a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, our friend Lori Ray Erickson will be showing her work.
I see her work right now. I just wore the gold royals.
I wore my royals.
That's really lovely. I can steal that from you, by the way.
I'm sure she'd make one for you. Paul Mallory will be showing his beautiful pottery. And then I'm working on getting a live sketch artist, preferably someone who works in watercolor. I'm mm-hmm. working on our friend Ellen Henry to do that. And there's always performance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Kat Mahari will be doing a dance for us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of being miniaturized and performed mm-hmm. on my work table, which I'm
wow.
really excited about. And then Iris Applequist, Jose Faust, and I'm working on Mark Manning. Maybe you would read something as well.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
And then David Downing has been performing cello for us.
Oh, man.
So it's a
beautiful,
really warm, inviting evening where everyone shares their networks and we all
yeah.
come together and help someone.
I think that's terrific. And that is June 6th. Tell
correct.
Our listeners what the address is for that.
You enter through the red door at 2010 Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and there's always signage. But
okay.
it's kind of a fun experience going through the studio building.
Now, can folks go to your website or to a website to find out more information, see maybe some upcoming things or past
I'm working
work?
On a yeah. Facebook page uh-huh. for the Salon for the Arts, but I do document it,
mm-hmm.
and we have images up on my website.
Terrific. The other thing is that I want to mention, you have a collaborative show with Lori Ray Erickson opening September at the Missouri Bank. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. we're just formulating what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to a more textile-based approach for the background imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're working on a real clear four-part juxtaposition of materials. So there probably will be metal involved.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori loves to use rubber,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It looks very cool, and I think those two elements will be really nice juxtaposition against the canvas and the silk.
Do you often collaborate with other artists, or do you prefer sort of just kind of doing what you do?
Well, I've always collaborated. Mm-hmm. I was a theater technician, and mm-hmm. I've always worked that way. But when I left the theater arts and left fashion, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed working on my own about 4 years.
Yeah.
And so this will be my first mm-hmm. Visual collaboration mm-hmm. in this manner, and I'm super excited about it, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And so that's going to be at the Missouri Bank in downtown, right?
At the Crossroads location.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wall that they have dedicated to showing artists' works, which is fabulous.
So on you do have a lot coming up.
Mm-hmm.
How many pieces are we going to? Do you know how many pieces you're working on for this collaborative show with Lori Ray? Or
yeah, we've kind of figured out the scale and what we think looks best in the space, and I would look for them to be rather large,
mm-hmm.
and there are 4 pieces,
mm-hmm.
and I think we'll just see how it goes, and if we decide to do it again in the future, mm-hmm. then we will. But she's great with collaboration. She's done a lot of that. So
yeah, we've had her on the show, and I think you were here, but we could not get you in the studio just to talk about your work.
I was being shy that day.
Yeah, that day. So is there something that you want to talk about with our...
I can't leave without mentioning the artists we're showing at MLB,
okay.
which is right down the street from the Leedy Volkos Arts Center. I don't own this space. I work for a woman she's an incredible interior designer and a great creative mind and a super generous spirit. So I've been working with her for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
But June 4th, we are having a reception for Caleb Lee Bowman, who's a fabulous sculptor. His show is called Between Mass and Gravity, Nowhere to Go But Here. And it's just a nice opportunity to get to know the artist and see his work a little bit better.
I found the images for his work very provocative.
They're very mysterious.
Yeah.
He's a sculptor, and this kind of shows his movement from one to another. He was known for his horse drawings. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of sculptors make a living mm-hmm. selling their drawings, and he was no exception. So, yeah, I think there's a really incredible elegance to the simplicity
mm-hmm.
of the approach to mm-hmm. his work, and there are pieces that you can spend time with.
And again, when is that coming up? Is it the first Friday?
It is the Thursday before First Friday. We are going to start doing these receptions for our artists.
Uh-huh.
On Thursday, because First Friday can be a little overwhelming.
Well, and it's crazy how it's really taken off. Back in the early 90s when I was an art student, I mean, First Fridays were for the artists, and go to the different galleries and
that sort of support each other.
But I love what's happened in the city, that people are really enjoying getting out and seeing art.
It is wonderful, and we're at a great location where we don't get everybody, but we get a lot of really quality people showing with us, as well as coming through the door to look at the work.
Absolutely. Do you have any advice or any last words that you want to impart on our listeners?
No, enjoy the weather today.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Beautiful out.
And you're going to stick around for the last part of ArtSpeak Radio.
Absolutely.
For a discussion with Meredith Marr. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
You do.
Oh, honey. You know what? My job's easy. It's everyone else that does the work. And I just kind of like put them in front of a microphone. I love that.
Right.
So we're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back.
Now my roof has got two windows, but the sunshine never comes through. You know it's always dark and dreary since I broke a baby with you.
On the next Sprouts, two tales of soldiers killed in Vietnam, as told by their siblings. Time to Learn, Looking Back at Vietnam, on Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
This is Wilson, and I'm one of the newest volunteers here at 90.1 FM KKFI. If you would like to get involved in volunteering, go ahead and call Bill at 816-994-7869 or go to kkfi.org/volunteer. Thanks for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, your community radio station.
You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Up next, we have the lovely and talented Meredith Marr. She's the director of the Wonder Fair Gallery in Lawrence, Kansas. She's going to talk about a proof of concept in progress, Thrust, which is a podcast, a thematic podcast. So welcome, Meredith Marr, to the program.
Thank you so much, Maria. I'm really excited to be here, and especially to have gotten to hear all these artists talk about their work first.
Well, you know, I just love finding out personal things about the artists, how they work and what experiences they had. So it's really a joy for me. I want to say that Thrust is presented as a series of thematic podcast episodes with supplemental online content. The first season of Thrust will explore issues raised, impacts made, and lessons learned by artists facing challenges in the Kansas City region. So with that, there is a need for this, yes?
I would say there's absolutely a need for it because both artists here today, both Harold and Crystal, talked about when they make work, they're often inspired by other forms of art, music and poetry. And I think all of these sensual forms of art, and I mean sensual in the way that it engages our senses.
Sure, absolutely.
Those are really meaningful, and people can connect with them really readily and instinctually. But there's a whole other world of art being made that's meant to be correcting problems in our culture, our society, to break down systemic bias, etc. It's harder to understand how this work impacts you because sometimes it's invisible. So we were looking for a way to make those invisible things more sensual so that people can get close to them. And I think a podcast where you're listening to and connecting with the author's words through radio like you do, I think that might be successful. And if we won't know until we try it.
Absolutely. And I do want to mention that the support for Thrust is provided by a Rocket Grant Special Project Award, a program of the Charlotte Street Foundation and the University of Kansas Spencer Museum of Art. The funding is also provided by the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts. So, you know, this is really going to be a hit, I think, in the community and for non-artists, too, that can listen in and hear artists speak about whatever subject. What are some of the topics that are going to be discussed that you can kind of maybe share with us?
A little bit of a teaser, perhaps. Yes, let's do some teasing. So,
because it is called Thrust.
It is called Thrust. We're, you know, that's sexy and we don't mind because art is sexy and so is politics, everyone. Yeah. So we'll be doing a few talks. We've invited, honestly, my job is the easy part. I merely get to help facilitate the project while we bring on a diverse array of really interesting writers, not necessarily all art critics, but poets like Jose Faust, who was mentioned earlier today, or someone like yourself, Maria, who's engaged in all kinds of art. And the stories that will be coming out of each author who will be featured in singular episodes can range across the map from Charlie, Miley, and Lindsay Griffiths, who might be presenting some kind of audio game, which you'll play along with your announcers as you're listening. You might be engaged in the process of having artwork described to you without knowing the object, but you'll be painting the picture in your mind. Mm-hmm. Or the content might be a little more clear, like overtly political. I'm trying to think of an example that won't get me in trouble because this is too much spoilering. But, for example, Melissa Linos, who teaches in Kansas City, she'll be doing a piece that will examine how maybe there's an all-new and exciting kind of gentrification happening in Matfield Green, Kansas. And I don't know where their stories will take them yet. They're still in process, but I'm really excited to hear them. And think This American Life, but maybe a little more narrow field and a little more, well, This American Life has diversified in recent years, but we're jumping right into that.
Well, and I think there's going to be something for everyone because, you know, the culture of art itself, there's so many sections that, so many directions that it can take. You know, again, politics, more of you know, visual and that sort of thing. Because it's not just going to be visual artists, right? You're going to have writers and maybe performers.
Absolutely. We definitely have artists who are mainly more interested in performance art. But again, we have artists who are poets and playwrights. Artists who are musicians have been invited. Melissa is more of a cultural historian and wouldn't perhaps not consider herself an artist, though she's married to an artist. So art is for everyone, and this is an opportunity to bring both the voices of the audience and the creators into the same space.
Absolutely. So when do you when do you propose that this will really hit the airwaves?
That's a good question that I'm excited to know the answer to myself, Maria.
We're making it up as we go along.
We have such, in the Charlotte Street Foundation and the Spencer Museum of Art, we have the best partners for the seed money because they understand that we needn't release the show until we've created excellent content. We won't be rushing toward it, though I am eyeballing July 3rd as my ideal release date for episode one, and we have 16 episodes tentatively planned. So once we begin, we'll hit the ground running and release biweekly. So the start date may vary, but once we launch, it's all systems go.
Terrific. You know, I am going to just play a little bit of music. We're going to get our artists here at the microphones, and we'll just have a little bit of discussion. Would that be fine with you?
I am so excited for that.
Terrific.
Thank you.
up now. I really am in love and how.
Okay, so we've got all the players in place, and we're going to have an open discussion about arts. And I'd like to ask Crystal and Harold, what would you like to see as a podcast? What are some sort of topics that you would like to address?
Harold?
I'd like to address what I see as the war on the arts.
The war on the arts, meaning...
Mm-hmm. What a reduction of funding to schools, yeah. Art institutions, and helping mobilize artists to continue to be able to produce and make their statements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a terrific topic.
Yeah,
Crystal?
That's a great idea. The two things I'm real focused on right now and interested in is creating a sustainable community. Mm-hmm. That's sort of... My idea behind the salon is that we're sharing our networks and in a generous home environment. But I think that we have a top-heavy arts culture without the funding community base that we need in order to sustain ourselves into the future. And I've had, you know, ideas about what to do surrounding that, but a lot of that requires, for people to mobilize, it requires a larger mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. The other thing I'm interested in is historical preservation of artistic landmarks, architecture. We have an incredible history here. The Disneys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that we can discuss.
Well, and I think, you know, because this is just really the beginnings of, you know, the ideas and all that. I mean, that is there room for their ideas, for their opinions and concerns?
Right. Well, my husband points out that I'm perhaps overly optimistic. But I feel like because it's our beginning stage, we do feel like we have an opportunity to take almost any idea and at least explore how you would express that idea in an audio format.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, express it to a wider audience than I think a lot of art criticism reaches. And art criticism's goal is to help sustain the arts, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's to help people understand the importance of art in their lives. And I agree that there's... A bit of a. I'm from Kansas, so the war on the arts is like it started in Kansas. We were the first state to defund public art programs, and we lost so much opportunity in public schools, especially for children to learn art. Like Harold would have never had that kindergarten art class, perhaps, if he'd been born in Kansas recently.
Yeah.
So we need to have a bigger mouthpiece, like Crystal says, and especially to make sure our mouthpiece is directed in the proper direction, which is sometimes, you know, turn it up a little bit tone down the jargon.
I wanted to say that my first exposure to the arts was through the library system.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
that's
libraries.
Something that has completely fallen away, but that was an intrinsic part of the visual arts being passed around to lower income population. You could borrow prints of masterworks.
You have given me sort of a brainstorm that you're correct. Like, I think libraries are fairly well funded still today. We have a wonderful library
We're fighting.
Oh, no, I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's our community will never let our library go. But it's true that libraries have a more socialist approach where I do think art in more recent years, especially the last 20, as it becomes more related to the financial markets. Perhaps that's why funding for the arts is no longer a part of libraries, because there's less of an interest in giving it away for free, and I think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding at the school that you're at, Harold, are you finding that maybe the students are less interested in art, or are they? Is there an interest, but the sort of the funding and the programming is sort of really shrunk?
Well, yeah, I think there's actually possibly among the students an increased interest in the arts, but I don't teach art, but I do know several art teachers, and they do find it a struggle sometimes to get the supplies they need and having to come out of pocket.
Out of pocket, And that is really a concern, you know.
I wonder, I mean, our single podcast can't do all of this, but sure. It is an opportunity maybe where communities, perhaps through terrestrial radio signals that are community and localized, like people all support KKFI because they recognize that it's benefiting their specific community. These kinds of opportunities to talk about are might bring people together to donate art supplies to a community school. And
I think you have to be aware.
Yeah.
Well, I do think one issue, too, we have to ask the question, why are these individuals so afraid of the arts?
Mm-hmm.
Why are these corporate-sponsored politicians and political parties and entities so, why do they want to silence the voices of people from making art? I think the answer is found in looking back at history. But I think that definitely needs to be addressed.
And I think, you know, art isn't really viewed as something that's valid. Oh, what are you going to do with art, you know, as an adult? I don't think people really understand what the benefits are, you know, critical thinking and, you know.
Right. We've had a hard time having scientific metrics for the importance of art in our daily lives because you can't measure how something like inspired you or helped you wake up in the morning and live a happier day. So unfortunately, we're a culture ruled by numbers.
And looking back at history, if you want to know what people did in a particular time, you look at the history books, but if you want to know what they thought and felt about it, you look at the artwork from that time.
Yeah, the literature,
And if you want to wipe out a culture, you wipe out the art.
And, you know, I want to bring Jan Rogue in because she is an educator and an artist, a writer herself. And what would you like to hear as a podcast? I'm going to say Jan has been our live studio audience, so thank you, Jan.
Oh, this has been wonderful. And what I'd like to say is, you know, anything that you do and continue to do, but art is active. And all of this, everything I heard today was about active, moving throughout the world, actually moving throughout the United States, over and back and forth across the state line here. It's amazing. And what I'd always want people to remember is that art is not passive. You don't just go to the art exhibits. You actually experience. And when you yourself begin working as an artist, you're creating not only art, you're creating your life. So that's
I think that's true. So, you know, I think there's so much material. There's so much information that we can share through podcasts that it's really, you know, the clip will be fairly short, but I think it initiates a conversation, a dialogue, you know, between people that hadn't really considered art this way or that opinion.
I hope so. I do find that as podcasting has become exponentially more popular in the last 2 years, and there is actually numbers to support that, I hear people talking amongst themselves about podcasts. So I wonder if we can create that kind of discussion in the communities about issues that are raised. Perhaps there will be we're not going to silence people's opinions in favor of expressing more of a neutral viewpoint. We're going to allow people to have a very vested interest if that's what they choose to share. So perhaps we'll spark some really important dialogue in the community. I hope that happens.
I think it will happen. I mean, even just the small group of people that meet to kind of discuss the arts, and even here, you know, there's a lot of really good opinions and ideas and thoughts based about the arts. So will you... Who are some other people that you might reach out for the podcast? Maybe arts organizations or...
Well, we have our 16 writers involved in... perhaps there'll be a way we can post a list that you can share with your listeners. We also have folks we ask to write episodes who just don't have the time currently who will be serving as sort of liaisons and assistants like Lynn Cook. I'm very excited to work with her. She's so fabulous. I think I'm open. I want people to tell me who I should reach out to rather than me just suggest
that's
names.
Good, yeah.
I think that's the
best
fair. Opportunity I have. So I would love the opportunity to check in with sources who I wouldn't have thought of to share. Like, for example, Harold mentioned he's friends with some ministers. I'd like to get involved with some of them and see what they'd like to do with the podcast or high schoolers, I think, would be interested. We're thinking so far outside the box that I no longer even recognize whether there was a box to begin with. So I'm going to leave that one up to the audience.
You know, and Meredith, for our listeners that want to find more information about the podcast or the project, where can they go?
We have a webpage. It's thrustpodcast.com. Sorry, I kind of lisp on thrust, which is funny that I named my podcast something I can't even enunciate well. But thrustpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And all of the information you need will be there, and really slowly. We'll eventually try to partner with wonderful organizations like KKFI, KCUR.
I hope so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have 4 to 10 minute episodes, so maybe you'll even hear one of the episodes when you least expect it, just during your daily listening routine.
And you know what? You did mention KCUR. I want to give a shout out to our wonderful friend CJ Genovese.
Yes, CJ
Genovese yeah.
is helping us organize our thoughts as we prepare to write for radio, since she has a lot of experience in writing about art for a wider audience.
Yeah, it's really a terrific collaboration of people. You know, it's a good sampling of people in the Kansas City area.
I hope so. And I hope that season 2 is even more so.
Absolutely. Listen, each of you, do you want to have a final thought or say something before we kind of wind down here? We only have, we have some time, but how about you, Meredith? Do you want to start off?
Well, of course, I think we should always start out saying thank you, because I had the privilege of being here today, and I think there's a lot of people who I want to hear their thoughts, too. So I'd simply ask that anybody who has thoughts about how you'd like to hear art discussed on radio would reach out to me, meredith@wonderfair.com. Can I say that?
Absolutely. You just did.
Yeah.
I can't stop you now.
It's too late now. Reach out to me with your thoughts.
Very good. And Krista?
I'd just like to encourage everyone to continue to support the arts in whatever way they can possible, attending, experiencing, but also, you know, dig into your pockets and purchase artwork, because that gives artists the confidence and the impetus to move forward.
And it helps them make a living.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough, kids.
It's not easy for anyone.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm partial to our artist community.
Very good. And Harold?
Well, first of all, I must say thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome.
And one thing I forgot to mention is Urban Core, which is an online art magazine journal I started about 4 months ago on the Kansas City's black art scene.
Mm-hmm.
2 issues have already been put up, and the website is UrbanCore, UrbanCore.com. Mm-hmm. So, and just tell you, if you got art in you, let it out. Put
Absolutely.
It out there. Don't yeah. keep it to yourself.
You know, let me just backtrack a little bit. Urban Core,
mm-hmm.
Is this the first, let me see, where are you in Urban Core? I mean, is it just in its beginning?
As a journal, it's in its beginning. It's, been two, it's bi-monthly, and it's short, and it's... You get features on local artists that are connected to Kansas City's black art scene.
Good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Jan, do you want to weigh in? Just give a shout out to your husband. Or, and thank you for being patient and being part of our studio audience.
Nothing to be patient with. This was wonderful. I'm in awe of everyone in here, and thank you for letting me be part of this.
Absolutely. I want to thank Harold Smith, Crystal Highland, Meredith Moore, Jan Roque, and I want to say thank you to our listeners. Next week, June 3rd, we'll have writer, author, Randy Atwood, who writes a lot of his stories are created with Kansas City in mind. We also will have the director of the Art Center at Matty Rhodes, Jenny Mendez. We will have a poet from Topeka, Annette Billings, on the show next week. I want to invite our listeners to stay tuned to Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshberger at 1. At 3 o'clock, we have Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 o'clock, we have All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots, and 9 o'clock, Classical Challenge. Thank you again, Harold, Crystal, Meredith, and Jan. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. Do like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. Like us on our website at the KKFI website. Remember, you can find our podcast. You can download our podcast on www.kkfi.org or on iTunes. For next week, again, June 3rd, we've got a number of writers and gallery owners. So I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to KKFI. Honey, I'm coming home.